are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome to another Thursday edition of Locked On NBA. I am Jackson Gatlin, host of Locked On Rockets. He is Matt Moore, senior NBA writer at the Action Network and co-host of Locked On Nuggets. And man, do we have a social media doozy for you here today as one Kyrie Irving continues his Kyrie saga, his Kyrie reasons for what's going on. I'm going to keep hammering home the Kyrie reasons. Matt, can you say, like, it's not even surprising at this point that this is like continued on to this extent, right? It's just, it's at least he's on brand, right? Can we give him that?
Yeah, I mean, so the criticism over the last couple of days after the Shams Charania article on The Athletic was like, you know, he's letting anonymous sources speak for him, and this is all coming secondhand, and like he's like he needs to come out and explain, and like it needs to come from him. And then he got on Instagram, and now everyone's like, oh no, whoa, oh, we're so wrong. No, you should not. No, please stop talking. Please stop talking. So here we are with this rambling, largely nonsensical diatribe about why he's chosen not to be vaccinated, why he's not playing, why he doesn't care about the money, that he doesn't care if you're vaccinated, he just wants it to be his choice, and he says he's upset.
Well, hang on, let's let him say it, right?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. All right, here we go. Presenting one, Kyrie Irving, for your viewing pleasure.
We're sorry for this.
Make these convictions yourself. Like, I gotta make these myself, because it's gonna continue to revolve around this and that. And yo, you're gonna lose out on money, and you're gonna lose out on this. Like, so what? It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship? You think I really just want to give up my job? You think I really just want to sit at home and not go after the things with my teammates that I've been able to grow with, to learn with, to learn that it takes sacrifice in this space? Because we could be easily at home chilling with our families, but we're choosing to go out there and perform. You know, and even in that job, like, that's a dream come true. I've been working on that since I was in fourth grade. You think I want to give up my livelihood because of a mandate, because I don't have accommodations, because I'm unvaccinated? Come on. I'm not going to be used as a person in this agenda. You know, like, I'm not even going to speak on that. I'm just saying, like, it should not be divided amongst all of us. It should just be understood and respected. And mind you, once again, I'm going to repeat, this is not about the Nets. It's not about the organization. It's not about the NBA. It's not politics. It's not any one thing.
So much worse than it could have been. My first takeaway is, honestly, he said a whole lot of nothing, right? Like, I'm so sorry. Like, just talking in circles. If it's not this, it's not this, and it's not this, then I'm sorry. Then what is it? Like, okay, the one part that it feels like keeps getting hammered home is it's his personal decision, right? You know, it's his right to not want to take the vaccine. Okay, but then he goes on to say, you know, I'm not retiring from the NBA. I'm not doing this, that, and the other thing. Well, no, like the requirements are such that if that's your right, which is fine, like you want to go that route, cool. You want to beat that drum, sure. But there are consequences for that. And for him to continue to go on and, you know, talking about the whole, like, oh, there's people that are losing their jobs from these vaccine mandates and all this. Meanwhile, there are hospitals that are still filled to the brink with overworked nurses, doctors, physicians, whoever, right, who are treating, you know, COVID-ridden patients and, you know, all this stuff going on, right? Not thinking about them. So I don't know. There's a lot to unpack here, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want the actionable stuff, if you want the actual stuff from this that you should take away, it's he says he's not retiring. So that's step one, not retiring, you know, and he says he doesn't blame the Nets organization. That's key, right? Not Matt, the NBA, et cetera. Like, this was largely out of their hands because of the mandate from New York. So, like, those clarifications are the news items that are kind of that come out of this. The reason I think that we have to talk about it is, one, Kyrie having this whole stunt thing happening and making himself into a martyr, it does necessarily change the broader conversation about the NBA and the vaccine away from the 95% of the league that's vaccinated, and that's probably higher by now. Like, when this was the frustration from the NBPA, which is like, 95% of us are vaccinated. Why are you guys so focused on this 5%? And it's because this 5%,
it's really loud.
Are loud and making it into a moral issue. Kyrie's big thing, honestly, in a lot of this, if you read that was like a short snippet of the video, and
the actual video is 3.5 hours long, just so you know. Okay, it's
a lot of what he gets into is he doesn't want to be demonized. Like, this, and this is a continuing trend with him, is he wants to do whatever he wants and there not to be consequences. Like, I don't feel like that is an unfair description of Kyrie Irving. Like, that's literally what he has indicated, is he doesn't want to be demonized. He doesn't think it's fair that he doesn't want to get the vaccine and can't play. He doesn't think it's fair that the money's being withheld. Like, there is in him this sense of, I want to be able to do whatever I want with no restrictions.
He wants my cake and wants to eat it too.
So, like, I could do whatever I want. Why can't I do whatever I want? This gets into the broader issue of the vaccine for public health purposes. But in the context of the NBA, this is interwoven with, like, player empowerment. And people really don't want to talk about that. They're like, don't bring player empowerment into this. I'm like, no, this is related. This is if you go down the road of player empowerment, you're going to have people that take it to an extreme. This is one of, I literally don't want consequences for any of my decisions. And that's just not how reality is, unfortunately, for Kyrie.
Ultimately, and then it's tough because you do have some of the other voices that are so prominent across the league who have either given, like, you know, a wishy-washy answer on it, or who have just come out and, you know, not outright said anything one way or the other. But then you have others that have stepped up to the plate and said, no, like, you know, follow the science, follow this, support this. Steph Curry come out and saying, you know, in support of the vaccine.
Michael Jordan
coming out. Yeah. Like, you get, and so you get some of the guys who are backing it and understand it, but then you get others who are giving these kind of, you know, so-so answers, not leaning one way or the other.
I'll say this. The entire thing to me, he says, like, that's my dream since I was in fourth grade. Everything that he has done over the last couple of years indicates that he doesn't really want to play. Like, I just don't know how much he loves the game at this point. Like, he talks about it as his art. That's how he's referred to it, right? By doing so, I can understand the concept of basketball and athletic performance as art. He talks about being a performer a lot. I can understand that. Like, I can vibe with that. But by necessity, when you do start to talk about it in those terms, you are trying to transform what you do into something else. And to me, like, that's indicative of where he's at. Is, like, I'm not convinced that this is, like, a high moral stand. And this has been, look, if you don't want to believe me, that's fine. But there's a lot of conversation from league insiders. And if you look around, there's a lot of, like, comments from folks about, he's a rebel without a cause, or he wants to resist something, but he doesn't know how, or he wants to make a big moral stand, but doesn't have anything to do so with. And so, like, this is what you wind up with, is the situation. And I think he's more attached to the dramatics of the idea that he is doing something important. And I don't think that the cost of the basketball is necessarily as great as it's being made out to be. I know how much he's given to the game. I know the dedication he's put in. I know the injuries he's come back from. I understand all that. I also think that he's grown and changed as a person. And there's a lot of signs that he has other things that he cares about as much or more. And I think that he's having a hard time caring about the game relative to whatever these other things are that he's so dedicated to. It's complicated. I don't want to villainize Kyrie Irving. I just don't want to spread misinformation about the COVID vaccine. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, At this point, I think there's almost like a level of exhaustion with this story where we're just kind of ready for it to just be over. I mean, so many of the reactions to it have just been, you know, before this IG Live happened, I was kind of ready to just tuck it away in the back of my mind. The Nets were getting ready to move on without him. They made the decision. Okay, we're not going to have a part-time basketball player, right? We're just going to move forward without it. And, you know, at this point, I mean, if you had to go with your gut feeling, Matt, as to whether or not he actually caves and takes the vaccine, do you think he's going to do it? Do you think he's going to return to basketball in some capacity or in full-time capacity with the Nets? Or do you think the situation is going to continue to drag on?
I can give you a probabilistic answer on a lot of things in basketball, Jackson. I can't give you any probabilistic answer on what Kyrie Irving's going to do. Like, you can't game theory in it because I don't believe it's a rational actor. And beyond that, this is a deep, I will say, regardless of the reality of the situation objectively, I do recognize that this is a deeply personal thing that he is experiencing. Whether I think that that's authentic or not, he's going through it. Like, this means a lot to him. There's a lot of passion in that video. And so from that perspective, I can't parse out all the different complicated factors that are pulling at him and what he'll ultimately decide. No one knows.
Situation's crazy, to quote one James Harden. I'm sorry, I have to use that. I mean, I don't know anything else. I don't know anything else to say or do about it. It's just we're going to keep following it. And I kind of feel for the Nets team that this, I mean, you know, he says that this has nothing to do with the Nets, that it's not about the organization, but unfortunately he's dragging that entire team through the mud with him based on all of this. That entire organization is dealing with whatever the outcome from this is going to be. They're going to be getting asked questions about it. You saw James Harden in a media availability get asked about Kyrie and immediately like shut down and was just like, haven't talked to Kyrie, like just very heated, you know. And obviously they've said the right things. They've said, we hope he comes back, all this stuff, but you can tell it's going to start gnawing at this team if it hasn't already, which I'm sure it already has. Like,
yeah, we should take a break, but that was my big takeaway, is that the Nets don't make their decision to keep him away unless the players are on board with it, specifically the Kyrie Irving, or I'm sorry, Kevin Durant and James Harden. Like those guys. And then James Harden's presser today was terse. It was terse. And so I do think that this, like, if you're trying to win a championship, so much has to go right for you. And now, you know, and that's the thing, I think, is like for a lot of these guys, like James Harden's never won a championship. You know, this was supposed to be like his opportunity, his window, like the doorway for him. And there's a lot of guys on that team that are hoping to do the same. That's going to drastically change how they go down if they win a title.
And Kyrie is currently right here, like changing the locks on said doorway for the championship in front of James Harden. So,
yeah. And that's, you know, I think that's one of the issues. I think they want to support a teammate, but this ultimately winds up feeling very much like a stunt, and it's a circus that they have to deal with. This is what I always say, whether it's a trade demand with Ben Simmons or anything else, you're not the only one that has to deal with it. The executives and coach are not the only ones that have to deal with it. The other players have to deal with that tension and that stress and the circus day after day after day. It's on everybody, and there are impacts on your decisions for everybody else as we continue to learn in 2021.
Well, that's going to wrap up that first segment for us. We are going to dive into our stock watch around the NBA season awards coming up in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Sweatblock. Because look, sweating kind of sucks. Like, let's be honest, unless you're working out, you know, doing a good workout sweat, cool. Like, that's fine. That's one thing. But if you're going about your day, running errands, you know, visiting friends, maybe you're going on a date, business meeting, any of that, right? You don't want to have to worry about what you're wearing, sweating through your shirt, any of that stuff. You don't have to anymore with Sweatblock. It's doctor created, doctor recommended, works for up to 7 days per application. They have a dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. No questions asked. It's stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. Basically, just put it on at night before you go to bed, wake up the next morning, shower, get dressed, put your makeup on, do whatever you got to do, and then go about your day without having to worry about sweat, guaranteed. I know it sounds too good to be true, but if you or someone you love is dealing with this, you've got to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com when you use promo code LOCKEDON. Also available at Amazon and CVS. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at sweatblock.com. And continuing on here at Locked On NBA Thursday, he is Matt Moore, I am Jackson Gatlin, and we are back with another edition of Stock Market NBA And this edition is going to be covering the season awards and, in a way, kind of our predictions-ish of who we've got potentially, you know, leading the charge for each award. Where do you want to start, Matt? I mean, we've got a bunch of them to roll through here, so I'll let you steer the bus for a second. Where do you want to go?
This is Locked On NBA. We start with the most valuable player, Jackson. Okay. We start at the top.
Okay. All right. We're starting at the top. I appreciate it. Well, hey, I mean, okay. All right.
Fine. So let me start you with this, because we're at Stockwatch. We got buy, sell, short, or hold.
There you go.
And I'll go ahead and give you one. Giannis Antetokounmpo will win the 2022 NBA Most Valuable Player Award.
Even though there were a lot of signs that were pointing towards KD, I want to buy Giannis as the MVP favorite. I think, my premise for this, and I've echoed this sentiment before, but just to recap, right? I think that KD gets hit by having a superstar teammate, you know, in James Harden, even though the other superstar teammate is MIA currently, based on everything we just went over in segment one. And just the circus that is now the Brooklyn Nets, unfortunately. I don't exactly think that's going to win him any bonus points from the media voters, any of that stuff. I think that Giannis is poised and set to have a really strong MVP candidacy as he's fighting his way back, you know, trying to defend the title, go back to back, all of that. There's a lot of narratives kind of running in his favor. So yeah, I would buy, I'm buying Giannis MVP.
I will join you. I have two very big betting positions for MVP. One is Steph Curry. The other is Giannis at plus 900. You can still get him at some places. 9-1 is pretty good for a two-time winner who just won the title. And might be the best player in the league. I think the biggest thing is just he doesn't have that. The voters are always kind of cognizant of, am I going to vote for him? And then he's going to get knocked out in the first round and I'm going to look like an idiot, because you just don't want to look like an idiot. Don't worry about that anymore. He's certified. He's a champion. He's a defending champion. He's a defending finals MVP. I think that helps. The fact that he's so dominant defensively, I think helps. He's such a, like, there is no player that's as good offensively and defensively as Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, there's just not. Not Anthony Davis, not Joel Embiid, not LeBron James. Nobody is as good on both ends of the floor combined as
a healthy Giannis. Kawhi Leonard?
No.
That's the closest you get, though, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Kawhi's defense actually has slipped a little bit over the last couple of years. It's just that you have to pay real close attention to it. Just look a little bit, just because of the offensive workload. It's very hard to have the ball all the time and score a lot and do the defensive stuff. KD's talked about that before. So I will go ahead and I will buy Giannis for MVP as well. Where do you want to go next?
Okay, if we're rolling down our list, we got Most Improved, Coach of the Year. I think Coach of the Year is an interesting one here. And if we're rolling Coach of the Year, there's an interesting name that we can throw out there. And I think there's a potential narrative that we just discussed that might actually be playing into his favor, depending on how things shake out at the end of the year. But Steve Nash for Coach of the Year, are you buying, selling, holding, or shorting?
I'm going to sell. I'm not shorting. I'll say this. I'm going to sell. I have like a little bit of stock, I think, just off of the fact of Steve Nash, I think, has earned himself a lot of goodwill. He's a good interview, so voters like him from that perspective. The coach of dominant teams tends to get the award, right? Like the Bucks when they exploded, Mike Budenholzer won. And then, you know, it's either this team that's so dominant you can't vote for anybody else, right? Or it's a team that like surprises. So that's like the way to fade him in this situation, or to short him, is if you think it's going to be a surprise team that jumps up. Like I like Billy Donovan a lot for this award. I think the Bulls make a big step up and Billy Donovan gets some pub. But if let's say that we assume Kevin Durant's going to miss some time because coming off the Achilles, missed a lot of time last year, a lot of nagging injuries. They got to be careful with him. The roster's old, so they're going to be missing guys in and out. They had some roster turnover. They're going to have to get Cam Thomas and De'Ron Sharpe to contribute. So it's a little bit of like bringing rookies up to speed. And if they, through all of this and through the Kyrie distraction, if they come out on the other side with 60 plus wins, I do think Steve Nash is going to be in the discussion. So I just talked myself into buying. I'm buying it a little bit.
I was waiting for you. I could see the clicking, yeah. Like the gears turning a little bit, and then the faint glow in your eye as you got a little greedy talking yourself into it. Because for all the reasons you just laid out, exactly that, right? I mean, I think some of these awards are so narrative driven. You hit the nail on the head, right? Is it's either a super dominant team that comes out and you're just like, yeah, how can we give the award to anybody else? Like this team was absurdly dominant. Or the most recent winner, Tom Thibodeau, right? You go to the coach of the year for what he accomplished with everything going on, right? The feel good story, right? So it's those situations like that where you come away thinking, okay, those are kind of the de facto, like that's how it all ultimately shakes out. So I think this one kind of fits somewhere in between though, where if they are able to triumph over everything that's going on right now with the Kyrie situation and the other variables that you laid out, then I feel like Steve Nash has a solid chance in the eyes of the voters. And unless another team has that really good feel good story, which again, Billy D, that's a really good one. I'm really high on the Bulls. I know we were talking about it the other day, and I think we both bought Bulls stock, if I'm not mistaken. You know, they, and through preseason so far, I'm buying in even more, even though it's preseason and I don't want to overreact. I'm overreacting, Matt. I'm really high on the Bulls. I like what they've got going on over there.
I like it. Let's think one more in before we go to break. Let's do Defensive Player of the Year, and let's just talk about like the reigning favorite, Rudy Gobert. Let's just talk about him. Are you buying, selling, or shorting Rudy Gobert to be Defensive Player of the Year? You can hold. I know you want to short him. Because you're like, he can't do it in the playoffs. I know you want to do it, but this is a regular season award, buddy.
I know it is. Okay, I'm going to hold then, because I think that he is absolutely, like, it's just, he's just a year in, year out finalist, right? Like, I mean, it's so easy to just, how many has he racked up now? Is he up to three or four of them? He's got three, right? Already? I think he's got three. Okay, I'm looking. Okay, you look it up. I'll carry the show. You look it up. We're so great at this. No, seriously. I mean, he's such an instant, almost lock for it. And then there's such a question mark right now around, like, you go through the previous three finalists, right? So Gobert, Simmons, and Draymond Green. I mean, there's a lot of question marks around what happens with Simmons right now, right? Is he actually coming back to Philly? What's he going to look like as part of Philly? Is he going to be with another team? Whatever, right? So there's too many question marks around him. And then Draymond is another one where, hey, if the Warriors have like a renaissance this season, then I could see Dre being like the actual lead favorite. But then it's just, you boil it down to it's those three guys, then maybe you have Giannis as part of the conversation again, depending on if he fades or not in the MVP race. But I like him as an MVP finalist. So, and then maybe, I don't know, maybe he walks away as a finalist for both, but I think I'm just going to hold Gobert because I think it's a safe bet that he's going to be there, but I don't want to buy him as the like outright de facto winner.
We did an awards betting draft over at Action Network on the Buckets podcast. It comes out tomorrow on Friday on Friday. And so the only favorite that I took was Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year. Like, you want to know why? Here's the biggest reason to buy Rudy Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year. The voters don't want to do the work on this. Like,
the voters are lazy. That's why buy Gobert.
It's not that they're lazy. It's that you pour over MVP and you agonize. And you pour over Rookie of the Year and you kind of agonize. And Sixth Man is usually just points. But then, like, Most Improved Player and Coach of the Year. And then you're trying to figure out all NBA and, like, okay, does this spot go there? And then you kind of get Defensive Player of the Year. And in order to really evaluate it, you have to watch thousands of possessions. I mean it. Like, in order to really get a sense for defense, you have to combine metrics, talking to coaches and players about who's the toughest players to go against. And then you have to watch possession by possession all of these different candidates. And you have to watch the repetition constantly in order to get a real sense of where the defensive impact is. It's a lot of work to figure out defense. It's just it's nebulous and it's hard and it's circumstantial.
I'd argue difficult. It's a lot of work to figure out the minutiae of defense to really get an accurate portrayal of it. But it's also really easy to just look at the guys that actually impact defense and be like, yeah, I can eye test that and be like, I know that these 3 to 5 guys can revamp an NBA defense almost by themselves, right? You airdrop Rudy Gobert onto any team in the league and suddenly he's going to be able to anchor that defense for them and make them probably a top 10 defense as long as like there's somewhat like bodies with a pulse out there on the perimeter. I don't know, right? Like, I mean, it's one of those.
Yeah, and honestly, this is reductive. I think rebounds play a big part in it. I think oftentimes if there's like a deciding factor, like they really will be like, oh, and he grabbed 18 boards, and that's it. You know, average 12 boards, and that's the end of the conversation. So I'm with you. I'm holding on Rudy Gobert. I don't think there's any reason to buy it anymore. I don't think you need to, because it's at a premium already. I don't think you need to be selling it or shorting it. So let's just hold on Rudy Gobert going with DPOY for a fourth time, because he's already won three, Jackson.
There we go. Our in-house statistician, Matt Moore, doing the heavy lifting on this show. All right, coming up, we've got the rest of our awards to dole out after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Because look, football back and better than ever, pro and college football. They've also got you covered for UFC, MMA, NHL, NBA right around the corner, all of that, MLB while we're still going strong in the playoffs. So check out Bet Online. It's your number one spot for all your betting action. They've got a new updated site and interface, more odds, props, and contests. Head over to their website, use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. From, again, football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On NBA Thursday. For all his tirades and musings, you can follow Matt on Twitter at HP Basketball. You can find me for all your Clutch City antics and my general NBA takes at JT Gatlin on the Bird app. Neither Matt or I will be doing an IG Live anytime soon, unfortunately. I apologize for that huge disappointment. Maybe one day, but not anytime soon. Not until I'm ready to have a meltdown. All right, Matt, where are we going next? You pick.
All right, let's do Stockwatch. Most improved player, Jordan Poole of the Golden State Warriors. Are you buying or selling that Jordan Poole can win most improved player this season? Has had an electric preseason. I will note the last four players to win the award and eight of the last 11 have been selected as All-Stars.
Ooh. Okay, that's it. One, I appreciate the context given there. I like that. I feel smarter. No, here's my question on the Jordan Poole thing, right? How does Klay factor into this?
So I think,
I feel like for him to have a legitimate shot, he needs the proper like reps, right? To get the numbers up to where they need to be. Cause you know, I've poured over a little bit of like, you know, most improved player, like history, and gone back and looked at previous winners and tried to see, okay, you know, how big of a jump did certain guys have to make numbers wise to be in consideration, to be a finalist for the award. And then to not only just be a finalist, but to win it. And so if you look at his numbers from last season, I mean, he played about 20 minutes a night, 12 points per game, you know, and if we're looking at, I mean, I feel like the scoring is a big chunk of that, but you know, some of the other numbers, the rebounds, the assists could jump up a little bit and play their part. But I feel like he's going to need the actual reps, the shot attempts, the usage to get to a place where the voters would even consider him. And how much does Klay impact that upon his return?
I'll say this. If you think that he can win it, except for Klay's return, you should go ahead and believe he can win it. Because if that's the case, guess what? He's going to start now, which is one of the reasons why I'm worried about my sixth man of the year bet for him. He's going to start now, and Wiggins will play three. If he is playing the way that he is now, he will continue to start. And the Warriors will basically go either Andrew Wiggins will get traded or sent to the bench, they'll bring Klay off the bench initially, right? You don't ever bring a player back coming back from that serious injury and have him go in the starting unit full bore like that, right? So Klay's not supposed to be back till January. So let's say that he's not even really in a place where he can start, where he feels comfortable starting until All-Star, right? By that point, Poole's cemented himself in the starting unit, having a great season, having this most improved player candidate potential season, and he winds up staying, and they wind up changing their direction or move things around in order to make sure that, because Poole has been too good. There's a lot of confidence on that team about him. So I will tell you, I've bet this at several places. I am absolutely 100% buying Jordan Poole stock for this and for six man. I think he's going to be have an absolutely breakout season. You mentioned, like, if you're listening to this and you're like, 12 points a game? His per 36s last season were 22 points per 36 minutes. Like, he was explosive, and the Warriors look awesome in preseason in large part because of Poole. I have a really good feeling about Jordan Poole's prospects this season.
I hadn't considered that idea of them benching Wiggins. I just kind of had the de facto, like, in my mind, okay, cool. Like, you're our placeholder. You're, you know, even if you're cooking it up a little bit, you're having a solid season, you know, we'll slot you back into the bench. And I will say that is still a possibility, right? Maybe they, if, even if he's having some really solid production, maybe they do opt to move into the bench because, you know, maybe they want that six man, you know, firepower off the bench if Poole is doing really, really well. But you've talked me into it. I'm going to buy the Jordan Poole most improved players stock. I like it. I think that's a very safe bet at this point. Good on you, Matt. Great sell. That was, you did a wonderful job there. I'm just going to put that out there. Okay. That takes us to, we have two more awards. Yeah. Two more awards. Sixth man of the year, which I guess let's just roll into sixth man of the year, because we kind of touched on it a little bit here with Jordan Poole, but a guy who I think could make some serious noise for sixth man of the year, Derrick Rose.
Yeah. I will tell you, I'm buying that stock as well. Tibbs is going to play him a ton of minutes. That's a safety blanket. He's going to start all the times when Kemba Walker doesn't play, but he will still wind up being eligible for coming off the bench. So he's going to get that boost of playing the games where Kemba doesn't.
Kemba's going to start and Rose is going to get subbed in at the 11 minute, 30 second mark. It's just bam. Right. Like 30 seconds in the game, first possession, Tibbs is going to panic and hit the Derrick Rose button, break the glass. No.
He's going to play a ton. His numbers were really good last year. The efficiency is really good. Rose is I think a very complicated figure. And by that, I mean that the sexual assault allegations, which have to be mentioned, I think, whenever his name comes up, continue to be a topic that's really sensitive and terrible for a lot of fans. And that needs to be something that's just discussed. It's awkward in basketball conversations, but it's there, like it is with a lot of people in sports. But if we're just going to like try and make an estimation on this, I think Rose has a really good chance to win the award because he's going to have the opportunity and his game, he's been shooting really well. So that combination should get him in the discussion.
From a basketball perspective, I've got him pegged as my favorite to win sixth man of the year. And so I'm going to buy that stock. We're both buying that stock.
So that brings us to rookie of the year. So I will ask you, Jackson Gatlin, Alperen Şengün. No.
I was waiting for it. I was ready. Hey, when he averages, you know, a 20-point triple-double this season, you're going to be eating these words later, Matt.
I'm trying to decide whether... No, you know what? Let's just do... We're going to go super obvious here. Are you buying or selling, regardless... Like, you've seen Jalen Green in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen Cade. Been hurt.
Yep.
You buying or selling Cade Cunningham to win rookie of the year?
Selling Cade. Selling all of it. It's not happening. The best availability is availability. Couldn't imagine a rookie of the year candidate not playing in preseason game. No, seriously. I'll tone it back for a second. I think that if you want the unfiltered version, go check out Locked. I don't know. Anyways. No,
I was like, wow, you just like went full heel. You just like bought into the character 100%.
No, I say
theater on Locked On NBA.
It's okay. I save that character for the show that I get to do it 5 days a week on. No, like legitimately, I think that when you look at the competition, I think it really is. I think it's going to be a two-man race. I will say, you know, it's kind of dependent on how many minutes like Scotty Barnes is actually going to get, because I think that, you know, he's just not going to get the necessary burn to be a part of the race. And I think Evan Mobley You know, as a big, isn't going to have like the flashy numbers and isn't going to have the like the sex appeal of the other two guys at the top of the pecking order. But I do think it's largely going to boil down to a two-man race between Cade and Jalen Green. But ultimately, I think so much of the offense is going to be orchestrated for Jalen Green, whereas Cade has to do the orchestrating himself for the Pistons. And so there's going to be nights where Cade's, you know, running the show and, you know, facilitating, creating for others. He's going to rack up some, you know, a good number of like hockey assists and stuff, things that aren't going to show up on the stat sheet that our people aren't going to see on a night to night basis. And unless you're like really watching Cade every single night, which, hey, shout out Locked on Pistons and Kuka Hill, go check out his show. Does a phenomenal job covering that team. And if you want to know about what Cade's doing, go check out that show. But, and then likewise Locked on Rockets, if you care about Jalen Green. But for this rookie of the year race, I think it's going to boil down to Jalen Green's going to have the bigger, flashier numbers. And I think that's what's going to ultimately matter at the end of the year when the voters start tallying their ballots. So I am selling the Cade Cunningham stock because we are full heel Jalen Green here on this podcast.
I'm actually selling him as well. So I don't think the Pistons are going to be able to make his talent shine. They don't have, I think, big men to finish. Now, look, I may be wrong about Isaiah. He might be the difference maker here. But don't have...
Dude, disrespect to my man Garza. Come on. Like,
yeah, I love Luke Garza. I did loved him in Summer League. But yeah, in general, I just don't think the talent is very good to showcase what makes Cade good. And he's a very high IQ player. I think he needs more veterans around him. I think he needs more refined players around him. I think this is going to be kind of a rough year. I think he'll have flashes, but I think he's going to fill in the gaps. I don't think he'll be spectacular. And I think he'll have a season where you go, he's going to be really great in time. But I don't think he's going to shine on the highlights and on the stat page the same way Jalen Green and maybe Josh Giddey and some other guys are. So I will go ahead and sell Cade Cunningham for Rookie of the Year. And that wraps up Stock Watch for this week.
We need a jingle. We need a drop for this. You know what? That's on my... All right, that's my homework between now and next week is I need to come up with a jingle or a drop of some kind to play whenever we do Stock Watch because, hey, that's our thing. And we love doing it because it's a great way to approach the NBA in its entirety and figure out different storylines to present to our wonderful listeners. But Matt, that's been fun. I feel like we covered a lot of ground in this one. And I feel like we're a long way away from that segment one. I'm just going to say
I'm going to go on Instagram and give all my thoughts and feelings about a relatively logical and simple decision.
No. You're going to go complain about me on IG? I love that. Yes. Just immediately. Done with the podcast. All right, let me go complain about my co-host on IG Live.
Jackson.
I'll be sure to tune in and drop a few comments to encourage you, to egg you on, to boost your performance, really have you
Sorry. Before we go, I know that we're running late today as we have the last couple of weeks. I just got to say, the comment section on that Kyrie video, if you go look it up, that's actually maybe as crazy or crazier than anything Kyrie did. You had Stephon Marbury, Angel McCautry of the Las Vegas Aces, who has a lot of time on her hands after Diana Taurasi busted their ass out of the playoffs, and Duke Men's Basketball, the official account, commenting on that video. Like, someone's getting fired tomorrow. Just heads up. Somebody at Duke is going to be called into an office tomorrow. That is the thing that is going to occur.
All right, so are we buying, selling, holding, or the Duke official PR account or whatever?
We're shorting the Duke social media manager. That's what we're doing tonight. We are shorting the career of the Duke social media manager.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, with that, that's as good a note as any to stop on. If you haven't done so, please be sure to subscribe to the Locked on NBA YouTube channel. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, be it Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app. Make Locked on NBA your first listen of the day. And hey, I'll tell you what, go make Locked on Fantasy Basketball your second listen of the day. Josh Lloyd, absolutely killing it as the in-house fantasy expert. Probably, you know what? I'll go out and say it. He's the best fantasy expert when it comes to fantasy basketball in the world. Okay, go check out his show. Josh Lloyd is incredible. Do us a favor. Go listen to that. Make that your second listen of the day. But for Matt, for me, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked on NBA.